In Acts chapter 1, I'm reading in verse number 1, the Bible said, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." If correctly read, that's the first 14 verses in Acts chapter number 1. If you'd pray with me just a moment, we'll try to bring the message that the Lord has put in our hearts. Father, we thank you today for the Bible. We know, Lord, the Bible is trustworthy. Lord, there's a lot of folks in the world that think the Bible needs to be fixed. But Lord, we're of the persuasion that the Bible is perfect. And Lord, it's us that needs to be fixed. So we read it, we study it, we preach it, and we realize, our Father, that we can get help, that our faith can grow, that, Lord, we can be born again of an incorruptible seed, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And I pray, Lord, as the Word of God goes forth today, it will accomplish, Lord, whereunto you send it. Lord, send it into our hearts. Help us not just to hear, Lord, the voice of a pastor this morning, but help us to hear the voice of the Lord, to hear the voice of the Spirit of God as he speaks to our hearts. God will give you glory for all you do. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Well, it's good to be here, isn't it? The Bible said there, the disciples up on the mountain of transfiguration with the Lord Jesus said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Good to be here. Good to be in the house of God. Let me ask you something. Is there anywhere in the world you'd rather be this morning? I hope not. Well, this is a good place to be. It's a good place to be. I appreciate God's people, the fellowship we have together. What I want to look at today is this little thought down here. It's been ringing in my heart for several days now. The Bible said, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and to teach." It said, until the day that he was taken up. You know, according to the Bible, there's going to be a day that I'll be taken up. There's going to be a resurrection day. It's not just Easter Sunday, but we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. There's going to be a day in my life. You say, preacher, you know for sure you're not going to die? No, I may die. But I know this, I won't stay there long. I'll be like that one old boy that started learning the truths of the Bible, and the guy come by selling cemetery plots. He said, you got any questions? He said, yeah. He said, I got one. He said, what is it? He said, do you have any of them to rent? He said, I'm not going to need it long. Amen. And I thought about Brother Fred, our song leader here at the church for years and years and years, how that Brother Fred said, you know, I just want to serve the Lord as long as I can. And what he was saying is, I just want to serve the Lord until he takes me up. Amen. You see, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we looked at Sunday before Easter at Calvary. We took a trip to Calvary. Last week, we took a trip with the disciples and talked about the resurrection in Acts chapter number 4. And today, we're kind of going back now and looking, what do we do now? Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. Jesus has walked 40 days with these men on the earth. And by the way, wouldn't that have been a wonderful experience? Think about that for just a moment. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to walk with Jesus after, you understand that many of them, most of them, they thought he was gone forever. But he showed up, amen, and he blessed them and helped them and strengthened them along the way. I want to give you some things that the Lord's put in my heart, very simple things from the text this morning, that I trust will be a blessing to you. The first thing I want you to understand is I see a purpose here. You and I that are saved by the grace of God have a purpose for being in this world. And that purpose is to continue the work that Jesus began to do and to teach. Listen to what the Bible said over in John chapter number 14. I turn back there briefly. And Jesus said in verse number 11 of John 14, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. I want to ask a question. How many of y'all believe that? That Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in him. He said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now watch verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. I studied that passage for years, and it was mind-boggling to me to think that the church would do a greater work than what Christ did when he was on the earth. And for years I thought maybe it was just because his ministry was only 3.5 years long. I really don't believe that's what it's talking about, though. The work that you and I are involved in, the purpose that you and I are involved in as God's people, is a work of faith and a labor of love. Nowadays, in Jesus' day, people were believing because they would see a miracle. And they would see somebody healed, or they would see somebody raised from the dead, or they would see Jesus take a little lad's lunch and just keep breaking the bread and breaking the fish and feed 5,000 men. That's besides the women and the children. But nowadays, when somebody gets saved, and Jesse, there's another Jesse over here. I got Jesse, and I got Steve now. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Go crazy, I reckon. I ain't got far to go, amen. But Jesse was in the choir a while ago, and he raised his hand. He just got saved about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But he was raising his hand and praised to God. I'm going to tell you something right now. That's a miracle. What I mean is this, beloved, listen. I didn't have anything to show Jesse that morning that he got saved. I just had a Bible to preach. And the Word of God said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm glad this morning that I'm not wandering through life without a purpose. I have a reason to be here. That's to continue the work, amen, that Jesus started when he was on the earth. Think about that. We're in the church. Jesus loves the church. I mean, listen, some of you were saved when you were young. Some of you were saved when you were way up in years. Doesn't matter. Joseph, the man that will be burying today, having his funeral today, his dad got saved last week, 68 years old. And I told him on Monday, I said, God didn't knock you in the head yesterday and take you to heaven, because he's got something for you to do down here in this world. Amen. And I think it's important that we understand that Jesus started a great work. But listen, are you involved in his work? Are you involved in the continuation of the work that Jesus started? What if somebody asked you to write in a sentence, what is your purpose in life? What would you write down? I tell you what we ought to be writing down, beloved. My purpose is to serve the one that loved me and gave himself for me. My purpose is to bring honor and glory to the one that served me and the one, beloved, listen, that gave his life for me. My purpose is to point others to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You say, preacher, that's easy for you. You're a pastor. You're a preacher. I'm going to tell you, you're missing the truth of the Word of God if you you don't understand. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're to have the same purpose in this world. That's to point others to Jesus. Have a purpose in your life. I talked to a young man yesterday. He's involved in coaching. He coaches the ball teams. And I told that young man, you need to get back in church and you need to get back on the firing line. There's young people that will listen to him that would not give me the time of day. Amen. And we all have a purpose and a place in this world to serve the Lord. I think that's important. The Bible said here, Luke is saying, the former treatise, he had written the book of Luke. He said, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and to teach until the day he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now let me give you this morning. I not only see a purpose in this passage of Scripture, this is important, and I believe it's very important. There's a passion. The Word of God said, look what it said here in verse number 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. If we're trying to serve the Lord apart from the love of God being shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us, if we're not careful, we become mechanical. We become pharisaical. We're going through the motions. And beloved, let me tell you something right now. If you're not careful, pride will creep in. Even when something good does happen, you'll begin to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Beloved, but if you'll live at the foot of the cross and realize that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. If anything is done for God's honor and God's glory, it's God that must do it. We sow and we water. Yes, we do. But God gives the increase. My wife on the way to church this morning was noticing how that folks are beginning to put out the hardy plants in their garden, the cabbage and the onions, the things that a little bit of frost won't hurt or a little bit of cold weather won't hurt. And she said, honey, they're starting to plant their gardens. And we used to do that a lot. We don't have time anymore to garden. Amen. I told the church years ago that, Brother Wayne, you'll like this. I told him I didn't have time to garden. And I found out that concrete grew more vegetables than I ever could anyway. Amen. They just left them sitting on the porch. Amen. Praise God. If they could have just cooked them up now, that would have all been done then. Amen. I'm just kidding, Brother Wayne. He's always bringing us some vegetables. But let me tell you something right now. Anybody can put the plant in the ground. They can put the seed in the ground. They can water it. They can fertilize it. They can keep the weeds out of it. But there's not one thing in the world they can do to make it grow. I tell you, you and I, beloved, need to be going through this world with two big baskets of seed in our hand, full of holes, just leaking seed everywhere we go. Amen. And trust in the God of heaven, amen, to water that seed and to raise that seed up and bring forth fruit unto everlasting life. I know that some of it falls on among thorns and some of it falls by the wayside and some of it falls on stony ground. Oh, hallelujah. Just every once in a while, Brother John was talking about it yesterday morning in prayer, that seed will fall on good ground and bring forth fruit unto everlasting life. God knows when we're just about at our lowest and we need to be encouraged a little bit, and he'll let us see somebody saved by the grace of God. So we'll go on another mile in the work of the Lord. Beloved, listen, there needs to be a passion. Do you love him this morning? Can you say, I love him because he first loved me? Let me tell you something right now, beloved. If you know him, you love him. If you don't love him the way you ought to, you know what's wrong? You don't know him the way you ought to. If you just get close to him, beloved, get in this book. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you get in this book and read this book and walk with Jesus in this book, it won't be long, beloved. You'll fall head over heels in love with the Savior of the world. I like the little song that said, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And we need that in our lives as God's people. I believe, beloved, with all of my heart, there's a passion here that's needed in our lives. We need his presence in our lives. He showed himself alive. He walked with them, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The Bible said he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. The word of God talked about the proof of your love to the Corinthians. It's one thing to say you love someone. It's another thing for your life to say it. And to back up that, my friend, that you say with your mouth, there's proof involved. Paul told the young preacher when he was getting ready to leave the scene, Paul was getting ready to die. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. And he said, beloved, he told Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. It's one thing, beloved, listen, to stand up and say this or say that. But it's another thing to live a life that proves it. Amen. And God wants us to do that. Beloved, Jesus has died. Jesus has rose again. Jesus is walking with these men. And he's saying to us this morning to continue, keep on keeping on in this day and hour that we live in. The Bible said in verse number 4 to wait for the promise of the Father. We know that that promise in particular was talking about where Jesus would send the Holy Spirit. Beloved, God is going to send the Holy Spirit down. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I go not away, he's not going to come. Let me just say this morning. When you're talking about the Holy Spirit, understand this, please. None of us would be saved apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me help you. How many understands what I just said? Beloved, you remember when he came and he fingered in your heart and he convinced you that you were a sinner and he convinced you that Jesus was the Savior. He convinced you that there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He convinced you that even though you were sorry, even though you were a sinner, even though you were filthy, he convinced you that Jesus loved you. How many remembers that, beloved? And that if you would trust him, he would wipe the slate clean. He would forgive you of all your sin. I'm telling you, a man cannot convince you of that. But the precious Holy Spirit, when he comes into that heart and fingers around that heart, it ain't long until an individual saying, yes, yes, that's what I need. I need forgiveness. And we see his promise here, the promise of the Father, that the Spirit of God is going to come. He said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus told him to wait. I believe, listen, it's important. I'm not just saying this. Brother Colt's not here this morning, is he, Brother Mike? He's working, ain't he? I'm not just saying this. But that young man, I knew a long time before he knew that he had a call of God on his life. And then he got the suspicion in himself. He talked to me about it. He said, Pastor, how do you know? Just how can you know for sure? I'm going to tell you something right now. He was willing to wait. The Bible said, let him that ministereth wait on his ministry. He said, preacher, he said, I'm not asking God to take it off of me. I'm asking him to pour it on me. He said, I'm not trying to get out of anything. He said, I just want to be sure. Oh, hallelujah for somebody that just wants to be sure about what God wants them to do in this walk of life. Amen. God's people, many of them, they're saved and they live and they die and never, ever discover what God wants them to do with their life. That's sad, beloved, because God has a purpose for you and a purpose for me. He wants to use us for his glory. Look at verse number 8. Let me show you something else. Jesus has got a force here to fulfill that purpose. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I believe with all of my heart, when an individual gets saved, the Spirit of God comes into their life. The Spirit of God seals them until the day of redemption. Beloved, he's going to... Listen, we're in his hand, and there ain't no man going to pluck us out of his hand. He's got us, amen. And he seals us till the day of redemption. I believe the Spirit of God, when he saves a man,
He fills that man. Listen, if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you got up off that altar with this attitude. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Amen. You were so happy to be forgiven. You were so happy to be saved. So happy to be heaven bound. And listen, just knowing that your sins were forgiven. How many remembers what I'm talking about? But if you're not careful, beloved, what will happen is you get saved and you're surrendered completely. You're full of God. But how many knows the old man's coming along? The old devil's coming along. He's trying to distract us. I believe that's what's going on in this generation. Amen. All across the land this morning, there's some that are hearing the Word of God while others are focusing on a cell phone. There's some hearing the Word of God while others are wondering what they're going to eat after a while. They're already in the restaurant in their heart and in their mind. And there's others, beloved, that are just surrendered saying, God, what is it you want me to do? Amen. For your honor and for your glory. The Bible said you shall receive power. I believe one of the things that we're missing in our day, we need a fresh dose of the power of God in our lives. Amen. So that when we do speak, listen, I learned this years ago. I can't remember who was preaching when I heard it. But someone said this, I have the ability to speak to your ears. If you can hear this morning, and I can speak, I have the ability to speak to your ears. But beloved, listen, what we're needing is something that goes beyond our ears and goes down into our heart and down into our life. We're needing to hear the Word of God, not just with our ears, but with our mind and our heart and our soul. Amen. We're needing to respond to the God of heaven. You say, preacher, what does it take? It takes the power of God, beloved, listen, to shake us down on the inside and cause us to repent of our beloved, our laxness in life and our lackadaisical attitude. It's God that shakes us and says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I asked a man yesterday, a young man, my son-in-law was visiting with me. I was sitting in his living room and I said, I'm going to ask you a question. I said, I'm going tomorrow to do a funeral of a man that's 35 years old. This man's in his early to mid-20s that I was talking with. I said, I want you to tell me. I said, if you get killed in a car wreck, I want you to tell me, are you sure that you've been born again? Are you sure that you've been saved? And he looked at me and tears welled up in his eyes. And he said, preacher, I'm sure. I say, thank God Almighty, amen, that we, through the Spirit of God and His power, can be sure that we've been saved by the grace of God. There's a lot of people in and out and up and down and don't know for sure. I'll tell you something right now. The Spirit of God can help you to know. If you want to know, you can know for sure. I think about Jesus going back after that he began this great work. What's it going to take, preacher, to continue this work and to finish this work? I thought about years ago, Brother J.W., he started a work. And it was Bible Way Church. And then Brother Jack come along and continued in that work. Other pastors have come along. And listen, the work only continues when we understand that it's an important work. Amen. There's nothing more important in the world than the work of God. Nothing more important in the world than the work of God. Let me give you just a couple of things in closing. Look here with me if you would. Over here, Jesus says, it's gone back now. They're standing there looking, and they said, you men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up? This same Jesus, who you've seen going to heaven, is going to come again in like manner. Let me ask you something. Where would he find you right now? Brother Brian, you touched on it in Sunday school, and I thank God for that, but would he find you sleeping or would he find you praying? Would he find you sleeping or would he find you serving? Would he find you living for yourself or would he find you living for others? Would he find you with a burden? I'm telling you, if ever in this world God's people ought to be under a burden for lost souls, it's in the generation that we live in. Folks, listen, I am not just saying this. It is the truth. Jesus is coming, just like the Bible said. So many are unprepared to meet him. And they're going to be separated from God forever. Separated from God's people forever and forever. Where is our burden? Where is our prayer life? Even in our prayer request, if we're not careful, we're talking about cancer and we're talking about a stroke and we're talking about this and talking about that. But if we're not careful, beloved, even in our prayer request, no one is saying so and so is lost without God. And they need to be saved. Oh, beloved friend, I'm thinking about this and young men that just in the last few weeks have raised their hand and said, I'm lost. Pray for me. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, if you're able to come to a church like this and go away and forget about that, you're not where you need to be with God. I'm telling you right now, when somebody raises their hand and says, I'm lost, I want God's people to pray for me. We shouldn't be able to walk away from that and forget about that. We should be praying, amen. We should be burdened. That brings me to the last couple of things. What's it going to take? Well, the Bible said, look in verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. Now, many of them are named. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication and with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You say, preacher, what's it going to take? It's going to take people. Will you be one of the 120? Amen. They're not all named. Let me tell you this. I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but I'm telling you the truth. There's a lot of people that if somebody just mentioned their name, they'd serve the Lord. Honey, it's not about my name. It's not about your name. It's about his name. Amen. And beloved, listen, there ought to be such a love in our heart for the Lord. These were in the upper room and these were praying. Whether their name was mentioned or not, there was a love for the Lord Jesus and a love and a longing for the work to be continued that he had started here in the world. Oh, beloved, it takes people. It takes people. And then the Bible said here, the last thing in verse 14, these all continued. That's persistence. You just got to keep on keeping on. Let me ask you something. How many's ever prayed for somebody and about the time you give up, God worked? How many's ever give up? You found that. Listen, I believe sometimes God is in that. What do you mean? God wants us to pray, but God wants us to know he's the one that has to do the work. Amen. God wants us to pray, but he wants us to know, beloved, that we're frail. We're finite. He's infinite. Amen. He doesn't forget the prayers of God's people. Beloved, listen, the last thing here, there's a persistence. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. I'm going to ask you, listen, that we would continue. Listen, the cross the Sunday before last, the resurrection last Sunday. Now the Lord is saying he's coming back. He went away. He's coming back. Just continue. 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 Stay at it. Stay by the stuff. Amen. He said, preacher, I haven't gotten started. Then get started. And then continue. And continue. A lot of people, they think that they get saved and that's the end. No, beloved, listen, we get saved and that's the beginning. That's the beginning of our journey, amen, with God here on this earth, making a difference in somebody else's life along the way. I don't believe the disciples were ever the same. They walked with Jesus. They saw what he started, and you read the book of Acts. They wanted to get in on seeing it continued, amen, for the glory of God. Years ago, I heard Dr. Howell say this. I'm not sure if it was original with him or not, but I heard him say this. He said, we ought to read the book of Proverbs. He said, the book of Proverbs will give us wisdom, teach us how to live, give us instruction in our life. He said, we ought to read the book of Psalms. He said, because the book of Psalms will keep our hearts sweet. Beloved, there's a whole lot in this world trying to take that sweetness out of God's people. Say amen. I'm telling you, there are people in this world that claim to know Jesus that are at each other's throat. Amen. The book of Psalms keep your heart sweet. But he said, we ought to read the book of Acts. He said, because the book of Acts will keep us reminded of what the New Testament church is supposed to be. Beloved, listen, if we're not reaching and we're not teaching, Jesus told us it, didn't he? Didn't he tell us to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel? We're supposed to reach. We're supposed to teach. Amen. We're supposed to disciple people for the glory of God. And if we're not continuing in that work, we're missing the main purpose for the church. The average church today, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's turned into a social organization. Yeah. Me and my four, no more. Amen. Listen, there's some in those churches that wouldn't care if the pews were pushed out and you turned it into a dance hall. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, God still has a remnant of people that want to see people saved by the grace of God, that realize before the sun goes down today, Jesus could step out on a cloud and say, come up hither, and we'd be gone as the children of God. But what's sad is there'd be many. Let me say this to you. There'd be many that would be left sitting on a church pew. I've said this for years. The devil would just as soon take people to church, to hell from a church pew as he would a bar stool. It doesn't make any difference to him. Jesus said you must be born again. There's got to come a time in our life when we realize we're the guilty one and he's the Savior and we need him. We can't make it. A lot of things we could do on our own. One thing you can't do on your own is go to heaven. You just can't go to heaven on your own. You're going to have Jesus if you go to heaven. We want you to go with us. Would you go with us? Go with us. Go with us to the wonderful place called heaven. Let's bow for prayer this morning.